Ezekiel chapter 16. The sins of Sodom. Sins of America. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 48. Well, let's pray first. Father, we need you. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us today from your word. Teach us, Lord, what we need to know. Reprove us where we need it. Call us to repentance, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. The next sin of Sodom, the first one we covered was pride. The next sin that we see that Sodom was guilty of was fullness of bread. Fullness of bread. In Genesis chapter 13, verse number 10, we see really the meaning of this in this text here. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. What he is saying here is that their land was blessed with plentiful. It was a beautiful place. Sodom was a wonderful place. Going towards Sodom was a beautiful place to be able to take care of, to grow a garden, to, for industry, for anything. The vegetation, for fruit, for everything. It was a beautiful place. It was a productive place. The land flowed well and everything, the crops were wonderful there. It brought forth plentifully. Now that's not a sin. It's the way they used it that was a sin. John Gill says this, it brought forth plentifully so that there was great fullness of provision of all sorts of food, which is meant by bread. That's what, bread in the Bible is an example of many things, but I mean, it's really an example of food, period. I mean, it's just got given the plentifulness and explaining the fact that they had plenty of bread and food to eat. And, you know, that's the textual, that's what it's trying to explain to you, that it's more than just bread that they had. It's the fact that they were a plentiful land and they didn't want for food in that land. They had all sorts of food. But this considered itself was not sinful, but a blessing. It was the Lord's mercy and goodness to them that they had such plenty, but it was their sin that they abused it. In luxury and in temperance and eating and drinking to excess are here meant, which led on to that sin and kindled the flames of it and were the fuel of it. Which has caused its name from, and besides the fullness of good things, enjoyed them. It was the source of their pride. They said, look at our land, isn't it great? Look at our crops, aren't they wonderful? Look at the food. America can feed the world with food. And does in many cases. But it's lifted America up in pride. It's part of America's pride. Why? They forgot who gave it to them. They forgot who blessed the land. They forgot who made it fruitful. That's right, who created it. It was God's great mercy that they had plenty, but their great sin is that they abused it. Now you can abuse it through surfeiting or gluttony or anything like that. You can abuse food through that, of course. But I believe what he's explaining here is the fact that their plentifulness, because you'll see what they did with their plentifulness, because the land reaped, as you go in this verse, the next sin that they're guilty of, it all kind of comes together and explains it. They were lifted up with pride because they had fullness of bread. They were lifted up with pride because they had everything, all their necessities, even their wants, were met by the land, met all their needs. Now God warned against this, and I'll get to some scripture that warns against this and explains it thoroughly so you understand it all put together what the Bible says, what he meant by fullness of bread. We have all the luxuries in America today. I mean, we got running water, we have indoor plumbing, we have internet, we have iPads, we have iPhones, we have heat, we have everything that we need, we have good homes to live in. We have everything. God has greatly blessed this country, but we've used it against Him. America has used this technology against people, against the world, and against God. America has used this technology to spy on everyone around the world, for pornography to invade the privacy of others, and prosperity has captivated Americans. They are completely captivated with prosperity. The average American is hypnotized by bread and circuses. They're distracted from what is really going on. They're distracted from the spiritual battle and warfare that is there. Completely distracted. America has blood on her hands. We have abortions and murders that we export all over the world, but as long as we have our fullness of bread, most Americans won't rock the boat. Most Americans won't say a word because we have prosperity. We have fullness of bread. Many Americans today will vote strictly from their pocketbook. That's what matters to them. Why? Because they want to keep their prosperity. It doesn't matter if something is right. Money is what matters. Prosperity is what matters. Fullness of bread. The Roman Empire was the same way. As long as they had their food, everything was okay. As long as they had their luxury, everything was fine. They had a decadent society. But let's compare Scripture with Scripture. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. We'll see what is meant by fullness of bread. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. When we are full, we don't need God. I believe the Lord allows people to be in a position of dependence on Him when things are too comfortable. We just forget about God. I know ever since I was called to preach that God never allowed me to be too comfortable. Never allowed me to know really where my next, or what amount of money I was going to make from one week to the next, or what amount of money I was going to have from one week to the other. I don't have a salary here. I just live by faith. Whatever the Lord provides, He provides. Why? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? That's why. You hear a pastor say, well, I can't take that church because there's not enough money. They can't give me enough salary to take it. Why? Maybe they can't, but God can. So God puts me in a position like that. God will put me in a position like that to not know. Not know what I have coming in or what will come in. Why? Lest I be full and deny Him. Lest I say that I did this for me. This really should be a believer's prayer, but it also ought to be a preacher's prayer as well. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Why? So I don't trust in them.
Right.
So would you like to have like rich church members in your church? Not really. I mean, praise the Lord if he saves some and brings them in, that's fine. It's up to the Lord, not me. But wanting them here for money or wanting them here so they can take care of everything so I can be comfortable? No, you get in trouble when you get comfortable. I don't need to be comfortable. Hosea chapter 13 and verse number 4. Yet am I the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me. That's why Jesus said it was hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he doesn't need God for anything. He believes. He doesn't need God for anything in his heart. He's got all his needs and necessities taken care of. Why is the majority of our churches filled with lost people today? They don't need God. They're fine. They're fine. They don't need God. They're okay. They're full. They don't need God. This is the real sin. This was another real sin of Sodom. They trusted in their own prosperity and were so proud they didn't thank the Lord for it, but their prosperity. They concentrated more on their job. They had their job and that was what was providing for them. They had their land and that was what was providing for them. No, my friend, your job doesn't provide for you. Your God provides for you. You let something happen to your income a little bit and you'll see if you're trusting that or God. You let something shake up in your work or your income and you'll see who you're trusting. Is it God? Or is it yourself? Is it your talent? Are you like the sin of Sodom? Is your sin the fullness of bread? You have everything. You have the prosperity. You have a job. You have everything that you need. So you don't need God. You don't seek His face. You don't beg Him for things. You don't look to Him and you don't ask Him for things. You're not daily in prayer. How's your prayer life? You praying or are you full? Can you skip days and on end without meaningful prayer to God? It's because you're full. It's because you're full. You don't need anything. When you're full like that, you don't need God. That's what Sodom was like. And America is the same way. Americans. Okay. You have chaplains right now and you have others that are being pressured by Congress and or by the president. They're going through and they're telling you, well, Christianity's gotta go. You gotta lighten up on that Christianity. Gotta lighten up he's removing officers everywhere. Why? Where's the action from Congress? These bastions of Christianity. No, I mean chaplains are when you go to the floor of Congress, they don't even want you praying in Jesus' name. Well, most Masons don't. Take a look at the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. You'll start understanding where those came from and why the term God is used. What that means. Why don't they want you praying in Jesus' name? Because they're full. Because you know what? If this country was on its knees, it'd be begging to have preachers come to Congress and begging for them to pray in Jesus' name and call unto your God. But they don't. Why? Fullness of bread. Fullness of bread. He You better be careful that you don't believe that it's you providing on your own without God. Work? Absolutely. But glory in God, but glory in God's blessings. I have done nothing to deserve God's blessings. But America is drunken on its own prosperity. Just like the sin of Sodom. Drunken on its own prosperity. Fullness of bread. Has everything. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Why did he say this about Sodom? Because he warned Israel in the law. He warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He warned them not to do this. Amen. Every nation, he's warned them. Don't do this. This is a pattern. Don't do this. If you do this, this will happen. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth from out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, with which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this well. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. He said, Israel, you're going to get into a land and it's going to flow with milk and honey, but don't forget I'm the one that gave it to you. Don't forget to bless me and thank me for what I've done. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Is that where we're at today in America? I think so. America's guilty of the sins of Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread. Ah, we have prosperity. I mean, we've got so much money, we pay people not to be productive. Yep. Think about that. Pride. What happens to you when you're proud like that, though? You forget God. What happens when you have fullness of bread? You forget God. When you never have any affliction to suffer, when you never have any needs that you have to go through, what happens? That society and that nation gets to a point where it mocks the God that blessed it. And that's where we're at today. We have a nation that mocks God. We mock him so much it's put on a dollar bill, in God we trust. Now, that ain't the biggest lie ever printed. You have to ask yourself, which God? Right? Fullness of bread. They had it all. They had the land yielded what it needed to yield. They were no longer... As the sower, when the parable of the sower, how he's spreading the seed and weeping, praying that, oh Lord, let this grow into a crop that I can feed my family with and provide for my family. No, they have fullness of bread. They have everything they need, everything they want. Everything's fine. And what happens when you're like that? You forget God. You start getting into sin. You start mocking God. If you spend your life not praying to the Lord as a born-again believer, and you're not seeking God's face, what you're saying is, I have fullness of bread. And you're going to forget your God. And judgment is going to come for that. Chastening of the Lord is going to come for that. It will come. Amen? Sometimes God will allow things to happen to see what you're trusting in, if it's your job or if it's Him. Yeah. What are you trusting in? The next sin of Sodom was abundance of idleness. Because of their pride, because of their fullness of bread, they had an abundance of idleness in the nation. I like this quote. Prosperity and ease, security and quietness at leisure and without labor. Two words are used to express the same thing and denote it. They had sloth and idleness, as they often arise from the goodness and fruitfulness of a country. It said fullness of provision, so they are the cause of much sin and wickedness. For if persons are not employed in some business or another, either of the head or hand, they will be doing evil. You want to know why kids are out getting in trouble? It's because they're not working. You want to know the quickest way to keep a kid out of trouble? Put them to work. Keep men out of trouble? Men don't have time to run around and commit crimes when they're working. They don't have time to do that. But in a prosperous nation like this, you can be a bum and still make money. You don't even have to work. In fact, I had an uncle that was paid about $2,400 a month to sit at home with four of his kids by the government. There wasn't nothing wrong with him, but he was a lazy bum. Still is. But all that dried up now, and he's running around living in a car. Idleness. It was a sin of Sodom. They had their prosperity and they became idle. Didn't do anything. Weren't productive anymore. Just kind of sat around. And you ever notice, don't you find it kind of strange that America really doesn't make anything anymore? We really don't make anything anymore. We have everybody else make it for us. We used to make a lot of things here. We don't anymore, though. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 13. With all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. It's a warning of the New Testament. A lot of men, a lot of women out there, they can be idle, wandering about from house to house. What are they doing? They're causing trouble. Why? Because they're idle. They don't have anything productive to do. They don't have any work to do. Or they do, and they're ignoring it. So they run around from house to house, gossiping and talking about other people. Got nothing better to do than talk about somebody else. How many do not work today but receive a handout from the government and are able to live off of it? How many millions upon millions are on food stamps that just don't go to work? Now, hey, I understand if somebody needs them. That's what they're there for, if you need them. And I believe there's a time to help people. I do believe that. But you know, when charities, when churches and others used to do it, you didn't have a lot of the problems you have today. Because there's a discerning spirit about it. But anything government gets their hands on, they ruin. Hey, isn't it funny they have their hands on religion? Look what they've done with that. America is prosperous and others are paying for it. So what are these people running around doing? We got a bunch of people that are running around being criminals. How do these people eat? These people that are running around, vandalizing and robbing and looting. The Bible talks about that, rioting in the daytime. All those kind of stuff. You know what? He wouldn't be doing that if he had to work for a living. He wouldn't be doing that. Not at all. Why does he do it? Because he's able to survive without it. Because we pay for it. We pay for a man to do that. I'm telling you, that is the sin of Sodom right there, and it's full, and America is full of it. Because of our prosperity, our bums live better than people that work full-time jobs overseas. A lot better. Then you have the rich that are out there today that have nothing better to do than to make people miserable. So they use their money to make people miserable and invade people's lives and to hurt them and to destroy companies, to destroy jobs, to destroy things. That's what they spend their time and their money doing. Why? They're idle. They have nothing better to do. They're not really working. They're just using their money and their fortunes to make people miserable. Men like George Soros. Caused the stock market to crash. Caused it. Orchestrated it. Why? He's evil. He's got nothing better to do. Got nothing better to do than ruin somebody's life. Nothing better at all. Just like Sodom. Same sin of Sodom. Same way. Same thing. Rich or poor can be idle like that. America is full of idle people that are not working and keeping busy. Their country was fruitful and abundance. In abundance they had. They had everything. Everything came easily. Temptations to indulge themselves was at an all-time high. Idleness is an inlet to much sin. You've heard the phrase, an idle mind is the devil's playground. It's true. Good point. Yep. How about David? How about David when he was to be out war, when the kings go to war, what was David doing? Sitting idly. He was sitting idly, idle at the palace doing nothing. When kings go to war, David was just sitting around being slothful and lazy and not doing anything. What happened? He got into murder. He got into fornication. He got into murder. Ruined some guy's life. Rich king, the man after God's own heart, had everything he could ever want. God said he gave him all this, and moreover, if you'd ask me, I gave you more. But what did he do? Came idle. His idleness cost a man his life. Stole his wife from a man and stole his life. And an innocent baby to die. Because sometimes we think our sin isn't going to affect our children or the next generation. Oh, it does. It'll continue to affect it. We are reaping what years and years of sowing has done in this nation. We are reaping it. That's the idleness. The standing waters gather filth, and a sitting bird is the fowler's mark. When David arose from off his bed at evening, he saw Bathsheba. David was just lying around, being lazy. Joab was out fighting the wars. He was sitting back. A little work will take care of a lot of trouble. Really will. And next we see the sin, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That's oppression. It's really what he's talking about. By the way, you don't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy by just handing them money. That doesn't strengthen their hands. All that does is enable you to keep them on the plantation and to control them so you get a vote. and it's worked masterfully. By the way, just so you understand, Democrats never wanted him off the plantation. They never wanted minorities off the plantation. No, 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 no. Now they control them with money. And we see how people vote because they vote that way. Folks, these are national sins here. The Bible's being, this is very clear from the Word of God. Very clear. Very clear. Neither did she strengthen the hands of the poor and needy. She weakened their hands and broke their arms. And consequently, power and interest and leisure, she did nothing for the relief of the poor and providing for whose wants. Those themselves are full of bread may employ their time well. Don't we see this today? I think about older folks today. I think about those that were forced at the point of a gun. That's how taxation works. If you don't believe me, don't pay them and you'll be in prison by the point of a gun. How that works. But older folks were told way back in generations back, the New Deal came around and Social Security must be, you have to pay into Social Security, you have to. Little did you know that they would taunt you with it your whole life. And every 4 years they would scare you into thinking, we're going to take it from you. You're not going to have it. 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 Didn't you hear it? I mean, you hear it every year. Well, this latest shutdown thing, well, the President Obama said, well, you know, we're not going to have that money for Social Security. That'll run out on the 15th if we don't raise this legislation up there. Well, I got one for you. How about none of you get paid and you pay them? Works for me. Why should you get $250,000 a year? I could think of 500 people that we could not pay. Just like that.
Amen.
That fast. But then again, those people have the power to vote themselves in a raise. But your money that you were forced to pay into your whole life, it might not be there. But I'm supposed to believe that all of these people aren't evil? Yeah. Then why aren't they standing up to fix the corruption that's there? And why did all of them laugh out the only man that said, you know, I think we should follow the golden rule. I think we should do what Jesus said. And like 400 people stood up and laughed at him and scoffed him. Politicians are weakening the hands of the poor in this country and needy when they don't teach them to fish. But they feed them some fish. Older people are threatened that your Social Security is not going to be there every election year so they can use it as a ploy for you to vote a certain way. You won't have any medical care. We don't have money for your Medicaid. We don't have money for this. We don't have money for that. Never mind the fact that you forced them to pay it for years. What is it? They're not strengthening the hands of the poor and the needy. No. What are they doing? They're scaring them. That's what they're doing. It's a scare tactic. These are the sins of Sodom. These are the sins of America. That's exactly what's going on. Let me ask you a question. Since, if you understand the psychological games that are played with this, do you understand this? How do you think an older person that lives off of like $400 or $800 or $600 a month is going to vote if you tell her that if you vote for these guys, you're not going to have any Social Security? How come that's even negotiable on the table? Where's the money for it? Where did it all go? How could that even be a negotiating tool? How could it be? It's not supposed to be. That's not necessary spending? Well, then why'd you take it from them? Why'd you force them to pay it? Easy. It was the New Deal. Do a little history lesson, you'll figure it out. Income tax had to come in. Because we have a Federal Reserve. What's the point? The point is it's oppression. And it's oppression of the poor. I didn't say the lazy and the greedy. It says the poor and the needy. No, you're not owed something in America. But when older people have paid in for 40 years of their life to something, 50 years of their life to something, then you tell them you're not going to have it for them, you're not going to give it to them after you took it from them? That's called stealing. Whether I agree with Social Security or not, which I don't, I think it's illegal. But anyway, the point is that you took it from them. And now you're scaring people and telling them, you always use it as a ploy to scare people that they're going to starve and they're not going to have anything. And you're not going to have anything. What is that? That's not strengthening the hands of the poor and needy. It's taking advantage of them. And that's what Sodom did. That's exactly what Sodom did. Oppression is alive and well in America today. You better get ready for some Christian oppression because it's coming. It is coming. It's starting in the military. That's right. That's where it's starting. But it's going to spread out. It's going to spread out everywhere. I mean, it is through 501c3 and other organizations. Now they're starting to work it in. They're going to start. Listen, gay marriage is just the. I'm telling you what, that's the one that's going to start waking people up. It hasn't woke them up yet, but it's going to start waking some people up. What do you mean I have to use my facility? Well, if you have a straight marriage there and you can rent your facility to them, you have to rent it to homosexual sodomites because. You're a 501c3. You're a nonprofit corporation. You're not for profit, and you can't discriminate. Well, let's just worry about that when it comes up. Let's not worry about it now. Okay. I've had somebody tell me that. I'll just worry about it when it comes up. So you'd rather dishonor God until God punishes you for it? That's what you're saying? I'm going to dishonor God by becoming a creature of the state and having the state. By the way, that's a corporation. It's a creature of the state. Can't get around it. That's legal. That's the law. That's what it is. So what you're telling me is you'd rather be a creature of the state. By the way, I never have anybody argue the facts of that out. What they like to do is just make little snippet comments, but they don't ever like to argue the facts of it. Let's talk about fact when it comes to that. And they are going to use it to oppress the religious in America, the churches in America. That's what the government is going to use it for. How do you know? Well, before we had a thing called the Bill of Rights, they did it then. In England, they did it then. Now, it wasn't over gay marriage and things like that. It was over you'll worship the way we tell you to worship. And then I have it on good authority that they did it here. So why do Christians in America believe it's not going to happen here? See, I wasn't comfortable with being a creature of the state. But that oppression is coming. It is on its way. It has to be as we roll on these end times. God said that they were haughty, so the Lord punished them for their pride. It always goes back to pride, though. All of these sins go back to pride. Man is proud, and the Bible says it is an abomination to God that he will punish. America is proud, and God will punish her for it. We cannot get away with all the sin and wickedness in America and then say, God bless America. Why should he? Why should he? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for way less than what we've done. Why shouldn't he? Why should he bless America? Why shouldn't we be destroyed? America needs to repent. Her people need to repent. Her churches need to repent and get right with God. America is wicked and God will deal with America. America is worse than Sodom. We have much more power than Sodom ever had. And we've done wickedly in this nation. And we've legislated wickedness in this nation. America is guilty of the sins of Sodom. All of them. So let me ask you, why shouldn't God destroy America? No reason. That doesn't mean that his born-again believers and his churches won't, that God won't preserve them. There's got to be something to preserve. That means you and I, it's incumbent upon you and I to stand up for what's right and to preach the truth and to stand in an hour when people want to sit. To stand and speak boldly. And preach boldly. It's not time to go cower in the corner. It's not time to do that. We can't do that. Our nation is being destroyed right in front of us. And we're guilty of the sins of Sodom. If you look at what happened to Israel, the same thing. They were guilty of those wicked sins. And what happened? There was a small remnant of those that would do right. And they were persecuted for it. And I'm going to tell you, that persecution, listen very closely, because the persecution is going to come from the religious people. The persecution is going to come from those that say they know who your God is. It's going to come from those churches that are going to say that are not willing to stand up and do what's right. They're going to try to alienate churches that do. It's going to come from people that don't have the spirituality to stand up and do what's right. Those are going to be the ones that are going to fight. Those are going to be the ones that are going to persecute the people of God. That's how it's always been. The religious ones. This is our nation. This is where we're at today. Now, God's people need to make sure that they're not lifted up with pride. We need to make sure that we're not in. We don't have that problem of fullness of bread. That we don't have that abundance of idleness. That we're about our Father's business. That we don't have that haughty spirit. But a spirit of meekness and lowliness. Because it's not going to get better in this nation. Yes, people can get saved. Amen. Yes, people can live for God. And yes, God will grow His church. He'll do that. He promised He would. But we see the direction of this country and it's the same as Sodom. And we are deep into it. And instead of repenting, just like Jerusalem, what do they do? Or Israel, what do? They double down on their wickedness. Double down on it. You know what I find is fascinating? When you see it in Israel, when you see it as judgment was coming, they had prophets that were standing up, and preachers and prophets, and they also had, you know, where you would liken them to believers, or stand up and say, no, it's not that bad. I mean, we're not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. Yeah, they had those too. I mean, judgment was coming. They seen it. Old Nebuchadnezzar's troops were right out the door. And they were saying, oh, you're going to be all right. You're going to defeat these guys. You're going to be good. God was bringing the house down. And they were so proud they couldn't see it until it was too late. May that not be us. We better be prepared. Better trust God and live for Him. Better examine our hearts with the Word of God. Repent. Ask God for forgiveness. Daily live in sanctification unto Him. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Someday your faith will really be tested. Is it real?